If we knew more about our sleep, what would we do differently? Would we go to bed at a consistent time or take steps to reduce interruptions to our sleep? With Sleep Score, Apple Watch measures your bedtime consistency, interruptions, and sleep duration. Then, every morning it combines these factors into an easy-to-understand score from 1 to 100. So you'll know how to take the quality of your sleep from okay to very high. Know your sleep score with Apple Watch. iPhone 11 or later required.
From 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Did you say someone got shot? Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
I'm a true champion.
Go blue is the mantra.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Michigan, the men's basketball champion.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, Michigan head coach Dusty May, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, UCLA head coach Corey Close, actor Emmanuel Shrieky. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I'm one happy host sitting here in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to join us here on this three-hour journey. Jay Billis talking about the men's national championship game in which Michigan outlasted UConn on Monday night. He's joining us on the show. Emmanuel Shrieky, the lovely and talented actress from back in the day of Entourage. She's got a new film out called A Love Like This. She hasn't been on the show in some time. She'll be on this show in hour number three in studio. And then we've got Dusty May of Michigan and Corey Close of UCLA. So we have two net cutters on the show. And that's how I say hello to Overreaction Monday nut cutter, Chris Brockman. How are you, Christopher? How are you?
Not as good as you. Congratulations.
That's correct. Jason Feller, good to see you. How are
good
you?
Good to see you, Rich.
I'm so glad you're here and not Del Tufo is going to be crying in his Seton Hall soup. Too bad. How are you, TJ Jefferson? That candle's lit. What's going on,
candle's
man?
Lit. It's almost not lit. What did you call it? Did
I? Yeah, I was curious.
That's all good.
And to represent you in Michigan, I wear my Steiner Brothers.
Ah, very good. Greatly appreciate
it. Steiner Brothers.
Greatly appreciate all that.
Congrats, man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I had a lot to do with it. listen, you know, I like giving a little history lesson and like a little perspective. I did this on the day that Michigan won the national championship in football a couple years ago. So I will start today's show in 1989. I was a junior at the University of Michigan. I was in Chrysler Arena on the final day of Big Ten action. This is before there was a tournament, so the season ended, Big Ten ended, when the last game was played. And then it was stay tuned to Selection Sunday to see if you made it and what your seed was going to be.
Right.
And we were nervous because I was in Chrysler Arena on that last day of the 1989 season when Bill Frieder's Michigan Wolverines got curb stomped by the Ludu and the Fighting Illini. And there's Bill with his towel. This is when everyone used to wear towels, I guess. Tark used to suck on them. He wore one. John Thompson famously did. We all know that. But you could see the faces, not everyone happy behind Bill. And Bill wasn't happy either because after the game, he says, I'm going to Arizona State, but I'll stick around and I'll coach the Michigan basketball team. The athletic director had different ideas about it. And he had a little sway. He had some juice on the campus because his name was Bo Schembechler.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Bo famously said to Bill Frieder, nah, the famous phrase of I want a Michigan man coaching a Michigan team was born. It's what Bo said. And we were all like, yeah, yeah, we want a Michigan man here. Go to Arizona State. Count your cards, Bill. Look it up. Go ahead. You do that. And then Bo tapped an assistant coach. He really didn't have much ties to Michigan, but he just wasn't Bill Frieder.
Right.
And he looked like he was straight out of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Steve Fisher. And we're all like, this is the guy? We're going to turn to the selection committee and say, put us in? Really? And they did. Steve Fisher took a six-seed Michigan into the tournament, and they won their first two games, and then they went to Rupp Arena for their regional action of the semifinal and final. Rupp Arena, the vaunted Kentucky Wildcat home, and Fisher's team in the Sweet 16 beat Dean Smith in North Carolina, and we're like, is this possible? Next up, Virginia. Beat them. Go to the Final Four, too. Wait for it. The King Dome. And Michigan found themselves in front of the same Illinois team that waxed us at home. And with Sean Higgins shooting a bucket on the baseline, sent Michigan into the final game against Seton Hall. Goes into overtime. Ramil Robinson made those free throws. I'm glad Del Tufo's not here to bitch about it. And Michigan wins in overtime and cuts down the nets because Glenn Rice was the outstanding player that he was, leading the team as well as he did. An absolute dream scenario. And there's Brent Musburger interviewing Steve Fisher with Billy Packer in the foreground as well. This is back when One Shining Moment was a fresh new song, 37 years ago. And I was on campus the day of that game in the offices of the Michigan Daily, the greatest student publication ever created, I like to think. Oh, student newspaper. I was a sports editor. And we were all like, if Michigan wins tonight, who's closing the newspaper? Because back in the day, there was a printing press, kids, and a newspaper needed to be set in type. Copy had to come in from the King Dome. Somebody had to put the section all together, put it in type, make sure it was all set. And we drew straws because nobody wanted to do that. We all wanted to go party if Michigan was going to win.
Yeah,
I drew the short straw. And as Michigan had just beaten Seton Hall, and everybody from my fraternity house and everyone else on campus was going nuts and getting more drunk, I was like a salmon swimming upstream, running against everybody, running towards the center of campus to get to the Michigan Daily newspaper to close that thing out. And I'll never forget that night.
I bet.
Ever. Unbelievable to be on campus and have something like this happen. And then Steve Fisher keeps the job. You know, it was gonna. And somehow, some way, a couple years later, pulls off the recruiting coup of the century and gets the Fab Five to show up on campus. And we're thinking, this is it. Here we go. We're going to do this again. Make the final game. Who's standing in the way? That you know what, Christian Laettner. That's who's standing in the way. And Coach K, Bobby Hurley. And that's where the Duke hate begins to boil in all of us at Michigan country. Next year, here's Dean Smith again. The 89 team beat Dean Smith. Fab Five, as we all know, the timeout hits. The timeout hits. And then, sure enough, this is, as one would say, as fitting a moment as you can have. Timeout, not only on that, but the dream of winning a national championship in college basketball at Michigan for quite some time. Because it wasn't the same after that for a long time until we turned to West Virginia and hired John Beilein, who brought Michigan to not one but two national championship games. In 2013, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. ran into Louisville, lost that one. And then in 2018, ran into Villanova on the last night of my life that Jalen Brunson made me extremely miserable. Michigan didn't get anywhere there either. spinning her wheels, turned to Juwan Howard, Fab Five. That didn't work out. 2 years ago, 8-24, and then on March 23rd, 2024, Michigan turned to the wunderkind coach of Florida Atlantic University, who just took their team to the Final Four and said, Dusty May, the job and floor is yours. And I'll never forget, just a month later, after finishing the NFL draft for NFL Network in Detroit, ran to the airport in my suit, like I was running my 40-yard dash trying to make my flight back to Los Angeles. And who do I run into at security but Dusty May? And I'm like, I so want to sit here and talk to you, but I got to run, man. I got to go. But good luck. We're all counting on you. And I cannot believe where I'm sitting here today. For the first time in 37 years, you know I talk about stuff, about sports, about the passage of time. 37 years later, Dusty May has me feeling the same way I did that night as a junior running to try and be responsible for my Michigan daily duties, but feeling the love and the community and the excitement and the pride. The pride. Because I told you guys this back in December when they started taking that BTA on the rest of college basketball. I told you guys that I thought this team's special nature and superpower was its versatility. Its versatility. That if they could beat you with the three, they'll beat you with the three. If you try and prevent them from beating you with the three, then they'll beat you with a transition game. And if you prevent the transition game, then they've got the big guys to pound in the paint and beat you that way. They can beat you half court. They can beat you full court. They can beat you however they need to beat you, because they are that deep and that well put together of a team, led by a guy who's now the nickname the Dominican LeBron, because he is built like LeBron James, 6'9" and damn near 250, Yaxel Lendeborg, who Dusty plucked off the campus of UAB. And sure enough, last night, that versatility that was shown off in the round of 16 and round of 8, Sweet 16 in the Elite 8 for Michigan in Chicago, taking on a high-flying, everybody's got to keep running, shooting threes like going out of style Alabama team, beat them. Then 2 days later, I have to turn around and take on a Tennessee team that just wants to beat you up. And they beat them both. They beat them both up. Last night, guess who is there? Standing in their way. Yes, UConn making it back again. Danny Hurley, 3 national championship games in 4 years, 2 national championships in a row to start off this run. And sure enough, what did they do last night? They kept it to their pace. They dictated the pace. They dictated the pace, and Yaxel Lendeborg was definitely not himself. And Michigan took care of business in the first half of this game, taking only a 4-point lead into halftime, and it did not look like Michigan's night. It looked like UConn was dictating the action, dictating what they wanted to do. They have some lion-hearted players on that team, Alex Caraban being the first and foremost, Mr. Indiana himself, and Braylon Mullins as well. They are good. They are deep, and they are well-coached, and Michigan had its hands full last night. And in the second half, just kept doing its thing, playing defense. A defensive-minded team showed up last night in UConn, and Michigan matched it and surpassed it, got to the national championship game by averaging over 90 points a game, but cut down the nets because of their defense. The versatility came in handy big time. And part of the reason why I think this is one of the best teams Michigan's ever put on the court or a field or anywhere on the ice in any sport, it is, in fact, the best basketball team Michigan's ever put together and ever put in front of us to represent the institution of higher learning that I love. That's a fact. They cut down the nets. They did it. Dusty May, mission accomplished in 2 years. 2 years. I could not be prouder and more happy. And he deserves it, and so do these kids. I do want to, before Dusty joins us, I do want to address the conversation that Michigan bought this team. $10 million in NIL money, and they are the first, I believe, national champion. Did you guys see this last night? First national champion to field five transfer students. To start five transfer students. Namari Burnett came from Alabama, but that was a couple years ago. He was a returning player from last year. So was Roddy Gale coming off the bench. So was LJ Kaysun, who they lost to an ACL injury in the middle of the Big Ten season. Right? Those guys came back. Well, Cheddar's been around since Ronnie Cicely was born. That's the sort of type of guy he's been around
so for. So you're going to dispute that they bought it? Or
no, I'm going to say this. That, yes, they got the NIL money in this day and age of NIL money talking. Like, say, Kentucky spending $20 million. Others did spend more than Michigan. And Michigan did get players like Morez Johnson to come from Illinois. And they got Yaxel Lendeborg to come from UAB. And they paid him what he needed to be paid to do that, along with a plan. And, yeah, Adaimara came from Westwood, just up the road. All of these guys did come from other places.
Who cares?
In this day and age.
Yeah, I mean, this is what
everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
But what you have to do is get the right guys and get them to buy in. Get them to buy in and get the kids who were there already to say, yeah, this may be your last year here, but you're coming off the bench because these new guys are going to start. But guess what? I've got a plan to get you in the game. We're all going to be a collective. We're going to play great defense. We're going to play together. And it's not easy to do that and get them all to come to campus and say, this is your new teammate, and then get them to play like they've played together their entire lives and get that happening by December. To BTA everybody that comes to Vegas to try and beat the U of M. Play that second Dusty May soundbite, if you don't mind, that we were talking about prior to the show, if you don't mind. And how it's not simple. It's just, yeah, we pay the kids. They're going to come here. We're just going to roll the basketballs out, and we're going to beat everybody up. It's not that simple. Dusty May was talking about the process. Hit it, please.
I think the most rewarding part is they never changed. Like, this game, we weren't very good early in the year. The first two exhibitions, we beat St. John's, but they weren't St. John's yet. And then we didn't play well. And at that point, we considered pivoting and changing our lineup and going a different direction and maybe admitting failure for our vision. And because of our staff, I remember the day like it was yesterday. We're in the conference room, and we did a deep dive in everything that you can come up with to try to predict whether we thought that it would work. And once we left that meeting, we were more committed than ever that this is going to work, and these are the reasons why. Now, we didn't feel like it's like bamboo. We didn't feel like the bamboo was just going to shoot to the sky the next week in Vegas, but it did, and then it happens quickly where we're playing at that level. And that's typically when it gets more difficult. I've been on assist on staffs when you play like that, and that's when it really gets tough because there's more tension. There's more of everything coming at your guys. And for them not to waver on how they, continue to give, that's probably the hardest part and most rewarding thing that these guys did.
Okay. It's not easy. You got to have the coaches. And you got to have the kids in the locker room who were there before. Saying, welcome, Elliot Cadeau from North Carolina. Let's get you up and running here and win the most outstanding player to cut down the nets. This is what Yaxel said about the welcome committee.
Once we transferred in, I know, especially for me, the whole University of Michigan welcomed me with open arms. You know, I've seen many Twitter arguments of these guys going back and forth with everybody saying, like, you know, we deserve the spot here, and we, you know, they're going to cherish every moment of us being here. You know, and shout out to Will, Roddy, Namari, LJ, especially those guys. Once we all got together, they were super genuine with us the whole way. They tucked us in under their wing, and they, you know, they showed us the Michigan way. You know, they could have easily got butt hurt or something because the new guys were coming in, stealing their minutes, stealing their points. But, you know, they didn't care. All they cared about was winning, and, you know, look where it led us.
And now it's a banner. The 1989 banner is no longer alone. 37 years later, I had much more hair back in my junior year of college. Still the same handsome guy inside. But I'm a prideful father of three, able to celebrate this moment with that man in the middle who accomplished this mission and represents this school, my school, our school, with the class and demeanor and smarts to put it all together and pull it off. And he sat on Tom Izzo's bench and said, yeah, we're winning tonight. Can't wait to talk about that next with this man. Let's take a break. Dusty May getting set to join us right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live next.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
My radio audience has just rejoined here, chatting with Dusty May, the head coach of the University of Michigan championship basketball program, live here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about putting this team together. How does one do that? Where you're adding pieces while you have to also understand how they would work together. How did you put this team together, if you don't mind walking me through that process, Coach?
Well, in year one, we knew we would lose Vlad Golden because he was out of eligibility. We never dreamed that Danny Wolf would be a first-round draft pick after 1 year. We thought he would be on the radar, and so we anticipated having Danny for 2 years. And we lost him, and immediately we went and got Elliot Cadeau, and we just felt like he was kind of that centerpiece that we could sell to recruits, that he's going to get you the ball. He loves to pass. He's got the speed and quickness to break down the defense on his own. And so then it was identifying a number of bigs, and we had a big net that we casted for bigs because we had a really great sell with Vlad and Danny having the success they had and also departing. And so we got Elliot, and then we got Adai and Merez, and we felt really good about our team. And then Yaxel, knowing that those guys were here, still wanted to come to Michigan after he couldn't get a first-round guarantee in the NBA. And so we thought that once Yaxel came, that we actually might lose Adai and Merez, because obviously teams continue to recruit. And even now with NIL contracts and rev share contracts, teams can come in and just sign a guy that's already signed a contract. It's happened repeatedly in our league. And so for those guys to take the leap of faith like they did and trust us that we could make it work with three guys that played center on their previous teams, was either a testament to them or insanity on their part.
Well, I imagine you're also dual tracking with the kids you already have to give them a heads up about minute sharing and things like that. Was that what you were doing also with Roddy Gale and LJ and Namari and Will, to just use four names of players that were sticking around?
Absolutely. And Will reminded me of some texts that he and I exchanged right after we were able to get these guys last year. And I told Will that basically the job he did in recruiting and the sacrifice he was making was going to bring us a national championship. And I'd forgotten that I had said those things. So for us to speak it into existence like we did was pretty cool. But yeah, that's and then we knew Roddy and Namari and LJ were incredibly unselfish guys that were all about winning. And so we're pretty open and transparent with our current players, what our plans are, who we're bringing in, what we envision. I know coaches say a lot of times players decide who plays. And we tell the guys we have an idea of what it's going to look like. It's penciled in now. Obviously, that can change in the spring and the summer and in the fall. But we have a penciled in picture of what it's going to look like. And so those guys bought in to giving themselves up to do something great together.
Dusty May here on the Rich Eisen Show. How special is Yaxel, Dusty?
Oh, he's just scratching the surface, Rich. He's so naive. He's so new to the game. I mean, it's special because he has such a good heart. And he's open to everyone. I mean, for example, Coach Boynton has to go grab him because he'll stay and sign autographs for an hour, for 2 hours. You know, typically guys walk out, they'll sign a couple and keep it moving. He would have stayed in the arena last night and signed 80,000 autographs if someone wouldn't have rescued him from that. And he's such a great teammate. He never wanted to be above the group. He embraced his deficiencies and leaned on his teammates to help him improve.
So what do you say, sky's the limit? What are you thinking about at the next level for him? What it looks like?
Definitely. I mean, I go to a lot of NBA games, and when I watch these games, I'm every time I leave, I say he's an NBA rotational guy or starter now on a good team. He's smart. He can defend multiple positions. He can play multiple positions on the other side of the ball, and he's going to do whatever the coach asks him to do. And I think those things are pretty valuable in today's climate.
Dusty May here on the Rich Eisen Show. And Mara, I was in Pauley Pavilion the night that you came by in your first year here. I left early, not because you were dismantling UCLA, but the city was quite frankly burning down at the time. And I had to leave. But Mara didn't look anything like the guy that he looked like this year. How do you work with him? Who works with him? How do you work on all these moves that he now has and the defensive player of the year ability, Dusty?
Well, Rich, he had a lot of those moves in his arsenal already. Obviously, Coach Williamson on our staff, he's in charge of player development. He does an amazing job. We always defer to our players and give them credit. They do the heavy lifting. They put in the work. But we watched Adai's film back with the Spanish national team, with his club back in the ACB. And he had a really, really special skill set with his footwork, passing, and things like that. And we just felt like he needed to be utilized, to put the ball in his hands and let him go. And we had some growing pains early. There were several games where he would turn it over, and your initial reaction is to get mad at him for throwing a behind the back pass or behind the neck pass or a hook skip pass 50 feet away. But then when you go back and look at the film, I mean, it made me a better coach because I had to bring him in and apologize a couple times. I said, Adai, this is the right play, the right pass. We need to start working on these actions in practice so your teammates know what you're seeing and know what you're looking at. I think this could be real, real healthy options offensively. And so we've grown together. He's just such a wonderful human being. I mean, he's a joy to be around. He lightens up every room. And that's the best part of this team. It shows that really good guys can be champions.
All right. In the few minutes I have left with you, Dusty May, I imagine one of your least favorite subjects to talk about, and that's you. You know, one of the things I just love about you, and I'm speaking for everybody that roots for you in Michigan, is your comportment, the way you handle yourself, the way you never seem to pound your chest. You just let the everything else do the talking. So in that respect, who is this man on the bench there in East Lansing? Who is that man sitting right there, Dusty May? Who is that guy?
Well, Coach Hurley made the comment that he thought I was very confident, and I was laughing with the staff. I said, does that mean he thinks I'm an arrogant asshole? Does he think I'm confident? Because usually when I say someone's very confident, it's a backhanded compliment. Mm-hmm. But we try to have a quiet confidence about everything that we do and belief, yes, because we put in the work. And when that happened, I walked out and they let me have it. And at that point, you know, it's kind of like just letting them get it all out before the game starts. Once they started, there was no way I was just going to hide in the locker room or duck away. I just kind of sat down and took it all in. And then the reporters came in and it ended up becoming a pretty cool picture in hindsight. But I don't know if I would known that was coming. I don't know if I would have went out there or not. I didn't think the students were in yet.
That's like spotty. And then you said, you know what, you're just going to be sitting there and take it all in and just show that off. And I shared this photograph with everybody in my text chain and vice versa, and it's been clanking everywhere. You know, and your career, as we know, started at IU as a student manager for Bobby Knight. If Bob Knight was alive today, what would he think of a student manager at Indiana hanging a banner for the University of Michigan? What would he think about that, Dusty May?
Wow. I don't know if he would believe it or not, but I get a lot of texts from his former trainers and assistant coaches, and they always remind me of some of his sayings. For example, we'll have a big win and they'll text, "Hey, great job. You know, don't let the guys feel too good about themselves and make sure you don't F it up," things like that. So he would definitely be proud because of, you know, this is a way to carry on his legacy as someone that was an elite teacher and someone that cared about people even more so when they were gone and couldn't do anything for him.
No, he didn't like Michigan very much, though. I mean, certainly I was a student in Chrysler Arena when he would come through with Steve Alford and beat up on, you know, Antoine Joubert and those Michigan Wolverines. But you did it for Michigan, Coach. And I guess that leads to this question I think everybody would want me to ask as well. With the portal being open all the time, the one name that everybody's afraid of seeing in the portal is Dusty May. Where do things stand on that front for you?
Yeah, I think for all of those Michigan fans, they have nothing to worry about. Eli's a sophomore in college right now, and I can't see any scenario where I would take my son away from graduating from the University of Michigan and sharing this experience. We moved around a lot when we were young, Rich, and to find a place we've settled in and that feels like home, and we're very honored to be a part of this place. And if there's ever a time when we don't feel like we can get it done here, that's when it's time to go. Otherwise, I think we can be consistent national championship contenders, and I love it at Michigan, and very, very proud to represent all of you. You know, you're talking about your hair, Rich, a minute ago, and then you bring up Antoine Joubert. That's two to the spectrum, man. I tried to explain to our guys.
He had the flow. The judge had the flow. That is for sure.
He's got it going on. He's a legend. I didn't realize he's not that tall, and he got a lot of work done for being an undersized guy.
I love that. It's great. And then again, one last about you and your family. Charlie splashing that one down in the Final Four, and the reaction from the bench. You know, and you kept your composure as you always do. But inside, were you high-fiving inside?
Yeah, I was proud. I was proud of him. Actually, the possession before, he came up with a long rebound, and I'm obsessed with guards rebounding because it could start your break. So I was actually more proud of the rebound. And then when he made that shot, it came from his roommate. Will Cheddar made a great extra pass to him, and the shot went in. And just to see the joy that our bench shared with Charlie in that moment, it's obviously awesome for our family. Our walk-ons, Charlie Howard, those guys, they put a lot of time in scout team. They're in strongman lifting weights with the team, and their reward is just to be a part of it. So for those guys to have a little bit of game action in these moments is pretty cool.
Well, I'll be honest with you again, Dusty, about the what's next here. Watching the Fab Five alt cast of your game against Arizona in the middle of it, Sierra Canyons, Brandon McCoy says, "I'm going to Michigan." And this is all happening at once, and clearly the net cutting last night. What does come next? What can you tell Wolverine fans about what is next for this program, Coach?
Well, the portal opened at 12:01 last night, and our staff, when I went back to the locker room after fulfilling some media obligations, they were already scrolling through the portal to see who's officially in it already. And they've had me on the phone beginning at 8 a.m. this morning. So we have a group of coaches that are driven, that they're process oriented. So it's all about what's next. Maybe when we have a roster together, we can start planning our spring and summer workouts, and then we can take a deep breath and maybe take a trip up north to Lake Charlevoix or somewhere to enjoy this run we just went on.
Awesome. Well, then I'm going to send you off to do the rest of your business. Because as you know, I don't know if you're aware, I don't know if Tom Weirott told you, but I stayed away from asking for your time during the tournament. I don't know if he told you that I didn't want to bother you. I saw you on other shows and I got jealous, but I just wanted to stay out of your way. You know, until this moment.
Well, Rich, I have a confession to make. I was a little bit hurt that you had other coaches on your show.
This is what I've been saying for weeks.
No,
we've been telling him. No,
I've been saying this.
No,
I just assumed I crashed your ratings the last time
I
was on.
Don't. By the way,
it personal.
No,
I took it personal.
Yeah, thank you, Coach.
You're welcome.
But I feel like that was my contribution. I didn't want to bother you. You know, I would just like, I'm going to take you away. That's one fewer moment for you to prepare for your shining moment, you know, that we're having together. right now.
That's fair. I'll talk to Tom about having a better funneling process with the requests.
Okay. My bad. I'll raise my hand. It's my bad. My bad. I'll put you in the bonus right there. Thanks again, Coach. On behalf of everybody, if I may speak for my friends and fellow alums and everybody at the University of Michigan, thank you for being you. Thank your family for, you know, being part of the school fabric. Thank you for what you said about wanting to stay there. Thank you for everything. It has been exactly what I imagined when I wanted to talk with you at the security in Detroit Airport after trying to make my flight after hosting the draft there. Honestly, it's what I dreamt. Couldn't imagine it would happen in 2 years. And I thank you. I thank you.
Well, Rich, that your first impression was you have great foot speed when I saw you at the Detroit Airport that day. So,
especially in the suit. God bless you. Dusty May, thank you. And congrats.
Appreciate it.
Congrats. Thanks again. That's Dusty May, everybody, the head coach of Michigan basketball. There he goes. That's one fewer kid in the portal because I kept him 5 extra minutes. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'll be very honest with you. I always shoot you very straight. And you need to be honest with me. Please. Please be honest. But gentle. Do you think he was serious that I hurt his feelings about not being on this program?
That was always my thought.
Yeah. I mean,
why wouldn't our number one guy have me on his show?
Because I didn't want to bother him.
But other people were bothering him.
It was literally just 10 minutes. What was the bother?
Because he's preparing.
For what?
I don't know. The belt?
10 minutes. It wasn't a belt. You won by 6. And you had a 12 free throw advantage.
Everyone else. Up to that point.
Arizona got the belt.
Yes, they did. So did Tennessee.
I'm just more disappointed that you're mentioning the judge, Anton Joubert, without mentioning Gary Grant, the general.
Yeah, I know.
They're like, you know.
Gary Grant.
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Oh, my God.
You can't mention one without the other.
Gary Grant was my favorite player at the University of Michigan.
Until
Glenn Rice showed up.
I remember a kid I was friends with. He was a Michigan family.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in elementary school, and I can remember just him always talking about the general and the judge.
The general and the judge.
That's funny.
Okay. We take a break. Corey Close is going to be joining us in hour 3. We only have championship head coaches.
Oh, we do.
And Jay Billis.
And Jay Billis.
Well, he's a champion, too.
Okay.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we welcome everybody who doesn't like Michigan back to the show. 47 minutes worth of it, but hey, that's what happens when they win the national championship. I'll give you the floor. I see you've been holding your tongue on a few items.
No? I don't. I have nothing. I mean, you guys were awesome all year. I mean,
again, last night, you know, you were texting me in the middle of the first half, like, how you feeling? Or at halftime, like, not great.
Yeah.
Not great. Because we were playing another team's tempo.
Right.
And the times that we did that, we lost. Well, Wisconsin beat Michigan, the 3 losses they had this year. Wisconsin beat Michigan for the first time Michigan lost all year at home or anywhere. But they lost at home to Wisconsin. Wisconsin rained a million threes on them.
Right.
And then played their typical defense. Duke, we all saw. Duke's just an insanely talented team that I think we played their pace. We missed some threes. And last night, Michigan missed every three they took in the first half. There was at one point, did you see CBS or TBS showed the shot chart? The green X's of them shooting or circles of them making their baskets were all underneath the basket.
Yeah.
And everything outside of the paint was a red X until like 15 minutes to go. Trey McKinney made a top of the key two. And Cooper said that's their first points out of the paint. And he was right. And that was with 15 minutes to go. So UConn's doing their thing, man. And that Alex Caravan, he's a great basketball player. He's great. And they were coming up with offensive rebounds. Yaxel shot his first air ball of the season because he didn't have his legs under him. I mean, if I had more time with Dusty, I'd be like, did you think you've taken him out? He played all 20 minutes of the first half. And did you see his chat with Tracy Wolfson at halftime?
Yo, I thought he looked like an alien standing next to Tracy.
Well, I mean, that was... was your takeaway?
I don't think that's what everyone was saying.
No, my takeaway is like interviews, like, again, the interviews with the coaches in timeouts, right?
Got to keep playing hard. Got to play everything. Right. Got to play a little defense.
You don't really get much. To fall. Right. You don't really 110%. Get much. Nor do you get like much from player as they're going into the halftime locker room. Right. But this weekend, Holly Rose mid-third, fourth quarter chat with Gino Auriemma yielded results. And Tracy Wolfson asked Yaxel, how are you feeling? And he's like, I feel terrible. Did you hear that when he said that?
Yeah.
I don't have my legs under me. Basically what he's saying. I heard that. I'm like, oh, no. But
I just thought, like, because earlier you called him, what, the Dominican LeBron? Is that
that's the phrase that's being.
I was just like, this dude is just like, doesn't look human.
I'm just wondering.
He's got LeBron's dimensions. He's that big.
Is there going to be a spot on the, like, do you guys do a parade after this?
I Michigan football did one, and they don't, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember what happened 37 years ago.
I'm just wondering if James Breeding, Kip Kissinger, and Jeff Anderson will have a spot on the parade.
Were you mentioning guys who hardly played a minute?
I'm mentioning the officials.
Oh, God. Come on now. You watched it.
Pretty big foul discrepancy, though, wouldn't you say?
Well, we also are bigger than them, and they wanted a bang. They wanted a hit. That's what's their game.
I'm just giving it back to you because all I heard about the Duke stuff was.
Well, that's the Duke, but that's only been 30 years of results. I understand that.
Yeah. I was.
The big officiating moment last night was the hook and hold on Caravan on Maurice Johnson, where they called him for that flagrant hooking his arm and pulling him down on a rebound that gave Michigan two shots and a possession. And they came away with a 4-point trip. Sometimes they weren't getting 4 points and 10 trips combined. How about this?
Tough shooting night.
Here's a stat. Teams scoring under 70 points in the NCAA tournament. Teams that score under 70 points shoot under 40% from the field, shoot under 15% from three on at least 15 or more attempts. I know these are all very small. I mean, they're all very narrow.
But they're probably zero wins, right?
And also getting out-rebounded. You get out-rebounded, you shoot less than 15 from three while attempting at least 15 of them. You score under 70 because you've shot under 40% from the field. Those teams are 1-50 all time. The one is last night's national champion. And that's what Michigan's done all year, is just find a way, but not just, they haven't had to find a way a lot, but they always have a path because of how versatile.
When you make 25 free throws, that helps.
That did too. They needed to make all of them. They needed to make absolutely all of them. You know? So that was last night. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls on this show. Jay Billis is about to join us. And then we have an overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
We do. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
That's great. Corey Close is going to join us in hour number three. And we won't wait 3 minutes to address her. I'm not upset. I still can't believe that moment. I still can't believe it.
Pretty weird.
Dawn Staley said she's going to address it at some point. I want to be in the room when she finally does. I don't think she ever will publicly. Like, who's going to bring it up now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, somebody will.
Well, it's kind of past the point now.
Right? Oh, it's never past the point. That's going to live on forever, man. So someone
it is going to be something that he's
at some point
that,
is going to bring that, it up to her.
Like, yeah.
Come on.
I guess.
Not in the first paragraph of Gino's, you know, obituary.
Well, of course not. No. Or how about this? Let's be kinder. Retirement.
Sure.
Retirement column or.
Yeah, I mean, he's goated already.
Article.
It's fine.
All right, yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Corey Close is coming up in hour number three. Emmanuel Shrieky after her in studio. That's how we're rolling here on this Championship Tuesday edition of The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.